I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. And remembering that, of course, most people are watching from home, I'm presuming you're already seated wherever you are. I've noticed that when I do services from home, I do not stand and sit at the appointed moments. I hope that's not a disappointment to those of you who work so hard at doing it here. Well, it is a delight to be able to be with you all, with the few that are able to be in the building, and with you all who are with us online, to be with you as we induct Steve Bateman as the new incumbent of the parish of St. Augustine's. It's a delight to be here at what is indeed, as we said at the beginning, a new kind of partnership in the life of the church. And I was pondering as I was driving up here that it certainly is a new beginning. However, we do this beginning in a time when the big question seems to be, when will it end? Not about Steve, of course, but when and how will it end, this time of COVID that we live in, where everything seems to be in upheaval. The readings for today are great for an induction as it begins, as we begin a new phase of this ministry, because if we're thinking about what does it mean for this, what does it mean, one of the ways of looking at it is to look at, well, what is a pastor called to do? And the reading from Ezekiel, I don't know if you ever have listened to it really carefully, it says, I will search, and I will seek, and I will rescue, and then I will gather, and I will bring home, and I will tend, and I will pasture the flock, and I will care for the sick, and I will, and yeah, anyways, you get the idea, right? So now, I'm not going to say that's the job description, because in fact, at the end of that, we are reminded that it is God who will do all those things, and that pastoral work includes all those things, but they are a thing that is, in fact, what God does for God's people. And that's a beginning, but I would like to actually today talk about ends. Ends, and I will tell you why, maybe it'll become evident in a moment, why I want to talk about ends. You will have noted that the gospel reading for today is indeed about the end. The end. The end comes, and the gospel story, Jesus describes this picture of the king, the Son of Man, who comes and sits on his throne, and then he separates out the people, the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And no, this is not an insult to left-handed people. It's just, he had to pick one or the other, right? So it's not about being left-handed, just in case you're wondering. And he separates them out. Now, this picture, I just have to tell you this, because I get to do this once every few years. I have a pair of purple socks that I'm wearing today. The right sock has sheep on it, and the left sock has goats on it. But I do not intend to stand at the front and try to separate anybody. That's Jesus' job. That's not mine. It's not mine. But this picture of separating out the sheep and the goats, and I don't know about you, but, you know, I have enough of a, you know, I don't know, what you call it, that active conscience in me that says, oh no. There's this judgment moment, this moment of crisis in which everybody comes, you know, and some are going to get one way and the other. And then, this is the difficult part, I think, is Jesus says to those who are on the right, to the righteous, as they're described, well done, because when I was sick, you looked after me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. And the righteous are puzzled because they don't know when they did this. And Jesus' response, in so much as you did it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. But then he turns to the goats. Same thing. Get away from me, you who are accursed. Because You know, and they say, you know, when did we not do these things? They don't know either. They can't figure it out. And Jesus says, of course, in so much as you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. Now, the difficult thing about this passage is that very often it's easy to read it in isolation from the rest of the gospel, right? It's kind of a powerful description. It's a powerful scene. And it's easy to come away from it going, oh my goodness. That guy I walked past on the street. Is that it? Am I done? You know? And you start adding up the numbers. You know what I'm saying? Is that it can feel like, and for Christians who have declared that we are saved by faith through grace, by grace through faith, we say, well, wait a minute, where's the forgiveness? Where's the grace? What about our faith? And because there's no addition here. There's no qualifiers. It's just, you did it, good for you. You didn't, you're gone. And this is the end, apparently. But there's two meanings to the word end, and I think the second meaning is really important here in terms of understanding this passage. Because this isn't about how, in the end, it's all about the ledger book. Anybody grow up with that notion? You know, there's a, you know, the classic scene of the person who comes to the gates of heaven, and there's St. Peter or an angel or somebody, and there's this big book that gets opened up, and they look up your name, and they say, okay, you know, what's the number here? Or recently, anybody seen the show The Good Place? Yeah, I've quite enjoyed that show, actually. But, of course, what is the thing that determines which way you go? It's got a little counter, a little ticker thing that's going plus, minus, you know, et cetera, which is so typically that whole view, the scorecard, the ledger sheet, good and bad, what did you do? You know, that's it, bottom line. But, of course, that's not actually how it works, right? And we do have to ask the question about to what end? To what end in terms of this new relationship of ministry that begins with Steve as the incumbent? To what end our gathering here this day? To what end? To what end? Today, the reason we have these readings is because in our Christian year, our church year, next week is Advent Sunday, the beginning, and this Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year, which sometimes is called Christ the King, which is an okay title for it. Christ is the King, period. That's good. But the other name for it is the Reign of Christ, and it's that one that I want to focus on a little bit today, because the reign of Christ, there's two meanings to it. One is that the end, meaning chronologically, is when Christ reigns over all things, even though, little aside, Christ already reigns. Some of us just don't know it yet. The other side of the reign of Christ is, does Christ reign amongst us? And in our hearts and in our minds. To what end? To what end were we created? We were created to the end that we might live in love with the one who made us and with one another. That we might live in unity with the one who made us and who has made us together as a people. The end to which we go is to be transformed from the brokenness of our sinful humanity into the completeness of God's grace and salvation. That is the end. That is God's end. And I'm using this word, of course, now in the sense of the purpose, the goal to which we are going. The purpose and the goal of the shepherds of Israel, which is used as a metaphor for king. Sorry, I knew there was a word. Metaphor for king. The shepherds of Israel are a way of referencing the kings. The purpose of the kings is what? To take taxes so that he can have more, you know, stuff? No. The purpose of the kings is so that the people might be God's holy people. And they, the human shepherds, failed. And so, God says, the day is coming when I will be their shepherd, and I will search for them, and I will rescue them, and I will gather them, and I will tend them, and I will feed them. And I will do justice. That is, I will sort between those who have oppressed and those who have been oppressed. And then I will set my King David, which is the way of referring to Messiah, the Son of Man, Jesus, and he will be their shepherd. All of this is the purpose of restoring people to living as God's holy people, to living fully under God's reign, not simply as something that is coerced, but as something that is given and is lived with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. That is why Paul, in the second reading that we had today, talks about the Ephesians, and he says, I give thanks to God always when I hear of your faith, and I pray that you will be given more wisdom and knowledge, and that you might know, the fullness of the grace of God. That's my rough paraphrase of lots of verses of Paul. That you might know, come to know the fullness of God, and you will be changed. You will be changed. Which is how we need to understand the scene of the sheep and the goats. Because the end of where we what we become is the purpose of God's life in us. It isn't just something, do you go out and do good and bad, but do you allow Christ to reign in you? And when Christ reigns in us, then God, by God's own Spirit, changes us and transforms us and gives us eyes to see those who are hungry, gives us the heart to seek those who are in need, gives us the will to clothe the naked, gives us in every way the ability to reflect the love and the mercy and the grace of God. That is what it means to be made in the image of God, to reflect the glory of God in human life. The last judgment is not talking about your scorecard. It's talking about, did you allow God to reign in you? God who sends his Spirit and wills to change you if you will only let it be. And so the question that is always before us and of which we are reminded of most clearly on this day of our Christian year, the reign of Christ, because we can look around and we can see this isn't it yet. It's not done. It's a coming, but it's not here. How will we live together? How will the parish of St. Augustine's open its heart more fully? How will it receive that grace and the power of the Spirit to become more fully those who are the sheep under the shepherd Jesus, doing his work and doing his will? I pray that in this next stage of the journey of St. Augustine's, I pray for grace for Steve, for Linda, and for all of you as you enter into this new part of your life together, that you will be open and ready and willing so that you might show yourselves to be those good sheep of Jesus, so that you may show yourselves transformed by his power and grace. May God, by his mercy and love, and by his Spirit, give you that heart and that mind and that soul within you and amongst you, evermore, day by day. Amen.